518, which is 4335 Southwest Humphrey, and 15, which is 822 Southeast 15th, S21, which is a large area of Buckman, S22, which is 1910 Southeast Stark, M45 and 71, which relate to 60th Avenue, M58, which is Southwest Main and St. Clair, M74, which is East Moreland, B92, which is Southwest 25th. So a lot of those have had a lot of public input. Those are going to be considered individually. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, let's take a look.
I'd like to just comment on a couple of these amendments that I'm supporting. This M75, which is changing the single dwelling 2.5 zoning within East Moreland to single dwelling 5,000 square foot R5, that's on Woodstock and Chavez. And the reason I'm supporting that is because nearby we had a land use case where it wasn't feasible or reasonable to put the 2.5 density, and that kind of called into question that area. And secondly, E88, which is in Moreland Lane, in East Moreland again, and that is being proposed for downzoning from single dwelling 5,000 to single dwelling 7,000. These two specific sites are where staff's analysis shows that the downzoning is appropriate and will better manage the both traffic and development in the area and result in better development. And throughout the plan, there is various downzonings for hazards, there's downzonings for better neighborhood balance, and with really good rationale that's supported and documentation for that support beyond whether neighbors would like a different zone or not. And so that's why I'm supporting these two particular changes in the zoning, and I won't be supporting the more widespread downzoning that some have been requesting. Of course, others' vote on this doesn't prejudge what their vote on the next, on the pulled items might be.
Okay, we can all rest easy. The Terwilliger Plaza amendment is in here.
Yeah.
It's a tough crowd. You know, we could have probably saved ourselves some trouble because there's this boilerplate language in the staff analysis box that says, you know, East Burnside is expected to be over capacity at this location in 2035 during the PM peak. We could have just put one box in at the beginning that said all streets are expected to be over capacity in 2035.
Right.
So, yeah.
But that it's important to note that, that caveat is in place in many cases, but that is not driving our decision making, and that's very good. Places that are designed for street capacity are not good places.
I would add also that sometimes that note appears where you're down designating, and so you're arguably making it a little better.
Yeah, in some cases. Okay, this package looks good to me. Anyone else have questions, concerns, or need a little more time? If not, then let's take a vote, please.
Holtzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Really appreciate staff's work on this. Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, now we're going to move to the transportation system plan. I move to adopt the TSP project list amendments. Carla, please read the description.
This includes amendments from Commissioner Novick and the Mayor listed on pages 100 through 110 of the March 18th Amendment Report, as well as the TSP errata on page 111. This also includes the clarification noted in item 10 of the Mayor's April 28 memo, clarifying that the Hayden Island Bridge is to be is to the commercial area on East Hayden Island, not to the port's West Hayden Island property.
Okay, is there a second?
Second. I'm not sure that I have your memo of today, though, Mayor.
I'm looking for the background material on this section, Eric. It's not in your packet, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have to go back to the 18th document. It's a large set of spreadsheets at the back of the document.
Starting on page what?
Starting on page 100 of our Commissioner Novick's amendments to the transportation project list, and then your own amendments are on page 110.
Okay. Wow, it's a good thing Commissioner Fish isn't here to note the typeface. Good. I'm glad we're taking that out of there. We're taking out extending the streetcar from Omsey Station to Moody via the Telecom Bridge. It's done.
A number of the changes were because we finished the project.
But this all starts on page 100. Yeah.
I don't have a page 100.
Oh, it's in 100 of this one.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So anything else noteworthy here, Eric, that you might want to point out, or because we're all
there were a
through.
Couple themes here. One theme you already noted, which is to remove projects that are completed. I think we're also removing the bridge itself now that it's done. There are a couple projects in residential areas that were removed because of lack of local support as we were fine-tuning. And then another category was there were a few projects that were broken into smaller pieces so that an earlier phase could be built earlier and get more done quicker.
Now, the Northeast 7th Avenue neighborhood greenway is here, right, in this list?
So it's 9th.
Right, 7th slash 9th. We got a lot of testimony about that. I had some questions about that, so I'm not sure if I'm ready to take action on that one.
I'd like some clarification because it's got 9th in as a project as well as 7th as a project.
Gordon, you want to help us out with that?
I can try. So there's both a project in the TSP list related to 7th and 9th. And then at Planning Commission right now is the incorporating the Bike Master Plan into the Comprehensive Plan. So there's been some testimony that I think is both related to the classifications of 7th and 9th that is actually at Planning Commission right now, as well as concerns or questions about how we'll actually build the facility on 7th and 9th. That's how I've interpreted the testimony, and others can let me know if they have had that same. So we put in the 7th and 9th as a project in the TSP because of a variety of reasons. And then again, we are making changes to the classifications in the next stage of the transportation system plan that's at Planning Commission. What generally we've talked about, and I believe have briefed some people with, is that when we actually design and build the 7th and 9th, you know, there'll be a lot of decisions being made about exactly what that looks like, where it goes, how wide things are, where striping is. And then there's a public process and a public involvement component of that design. And so I believe that we have decided, related to what we're at Planning Commission, is to leave it as is in the classification description, which I believe is 9th.
There's two different projects listed. There's one that's listed just for 9th, and then there's one that's listed for 7th and 9th.
Right. And so I think we've left that in to have that flexibility for when we actually get any funding to be able to decide where that goes.
So we're officially not deciding now.
That is my understanding, right. I haven't been that involved in the planning process.
When do we officially decide that?
I believe when we get when the gas tax passes and we have gas tax money to actually build the project.
Typically at the project description stage at this level, the project doesn't necessarily need to pick exactly
Correct.
What street it's on. Sometimes projects are whole corridors that have their own planning process to figure out their final alignment.
And similar to the 20s and 50s and 70s bikeway, I think
right.
it's a similar conversation that we had, and that's the same when the bike master plan was developed in 2010 about looking at 7th and 9th as a corridor. So I think that's why we put it in the project list as both, and then we're looking at actually classifying one at a higher level. But again, design can be decided. I mean, the classification is important in terms of its design, but it will not be the only dictation as to how the design is built, how it's built, and how it's designed.
Courtney, the project on 40116, which is where I think we have most of the testimony, the project name is Northeast 7th 9th, which seems to be leave it open, and the project description is design and implement a neighborhood greenway, which seems to leave it open, but the project location description says 7th Avenue from Weidler to Sumner, Sumner Street, and up 9th Avenue, Sumner to Holman, which makes it sound like we're deciding exactly how it runs. Or am I misunderstanding?
I think it's giving a generalized description as to where it could go on either street.
But then there's 2122, which is just 9th.
Excuse me.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the exact language. I don't have.
Should we maybe pull this for leave it till later?
Yeah,
and that's fine with us. I mean, we've been briefing a variety of people about it, and there's people much more versed in the design and the decision making about 7th and 9th than I am.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to pre-design the project here, but I do want to make sure that I understand where we've positioned it, what possibilities we positioned it for.
That's fine. Yeah,
based on
I agree
the testimony.
With that.
So Commissioner Fritz moves, and I'll second. Pulling that one out of the package.
Well, both of them.
20122 and 40116.
Yes, both of those. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Roll call to pull those two items out as for separate consideration. They can be together when they come.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, thank you.
And then there are several items on the Sullivan Gulch Trail, and Brad Perkins testified yesterday that we never actually put it on the map. Is that correct, or are we adding it to the map now?
The project list doesn't change the map on the zoning map in terms of development review requirements. It's just a funding list. So the separate action of classifying and putting the little stars on the zoning map that signify a trail is still at the Planning Commission.
Oh, so it's coming.
Yeah.
So we know we're getting there.
And he's been at that commission, too.
Which Got it. Good. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, did you want to add the language to the mayor's Hayden Island bridge description to explore the feasibility of transit and bicycle emphasis?
Please.
Okay. Consider that a friendly amendment and add that language. Slightly off topic, but Steve, I assume the wonderful Sullivan's Gulch Bridge project that was at Council yesterday is already accommodated in the list and the map? Must
That's
be.
That's a darn good question. Have we quickly added that to this revised list?
I believe that is in our proposal that's at Planning Commission right now in terms of adding those classifications, but we can confirm that. And if that's something you'd want to hold off till May 11th to talk about, we can have clarification. I believe the answer is yes, but
let's just check.
I don't. Okay, we can check.
Yeah, and a reminder that these are just the amendments to the list.
Right.
The
right. So if it's already there, it's fine. Right.
And yeah, I believe it's there, but we'll double check.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it's already there, but if we're that far down the road to designing it.
Yeah, I think it's been there for a while, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll confirm.
Okay. Anyone have any more questions or items to pull or need some more time to look through this? I think I'm good.
Okay.
All right. Then let's take a vote, please, on that package.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. Now, I'm going to move into this list of individual items, right? Is that where we go next, Eric?
Correct.
Item number 14.
Yeah, so you're moving now from the bundles into the individual items, and so those policies as we go or the map descriptions are just printed right under each item.
Okay, so it's just a matter of I move amendment number 14. Is that it?
I think these are just the language as they existed when they were pulled, so I think the commissioner who wanted to pull these should probably offer.
Oh, I see. So they were pulled out.
They were pulled out, so okay. The commissioner who pulled it should probably offer what the interest is, and
okay.
There should be some discussion of how you're changing it.
All right. Commissioner Novick, then you have the floor to talk about item number 14, which is the prioritization.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank my colleagues, and especially Commissioner Fish, for working with me and the disability elder rights communities to move the ADA language to a separate policy where it fits better. There's one amendment I'd like to make, actually, to this, which is in the fourth and final bullet point on the next second page, there's a language that says, rationale is provided if modes lower in the hierarchy are prioritized, and the words policy-based were there, and I'd like to restore them. So I'd like to move to amend this to restore the words policy-based in that fourth bullet point.
Second that. Anybody know why they were removed? Was that just...
Just a typo.
Yeah.
Just in the process of working on everything, things got crossed off, got added.
What would be a non-policy-based right,
right. Agreed, but we got a number of comments that people want to make sure we said policy basis in there. So.
A non-policy-based would be engineering or something.
Engineering, or we made it up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So let's take a vote on that amendment, please.
Holtzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Prince?
I appreciate the discussion with Commissioner Novick and have become convinced that the prioritization and the ordered list is correct. Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so I think all we've done so far is add back the word policy-based, I think. But anything else that we need to change in this? I like it. Okay, so then let's take a vote, please, on policy 9.6 as printed and further amended today.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Woohoo. Aye.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Good work. All right. Policy 8.3. Commissioner Fritz.
4.3, I think. So this one is about commercial uses, and I want to further amend it. I wanted to add language that said restrict the size of signage in the right-of-way, not commercial signage. So I wanted to delete commercial because obviously we can't discriminate based on content. But this is billboards and large moving image signs, Mayor.
Yeah. Now, are they? They're not always in the right-of-way, of course, but that's where this policy applies, right?
That's a really good point. Maybe we just have to say this policy.
This policy is in the public facilities chapter right. In the right-of-way section, so
we
it really
may need
is
to have
about
it somewhere else as well.
Yeah, okay, but you'd like to remove the word commercial?
Right, and have the amendment state restrict the size of signage in the right-of-way. Right.
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment. We'll have to vote on that. So that actually is very helpful because one of the perpetrators of bad performance on this issue is the city of Portland with some signs that we happen to own at the Rose Quarter. I'm glad you mentioned that because that will make them contrary to policy, which is a good start at getting rid of them.
Without wanting to put you in an awkward position, would I properly understand that BPS staff would still, even after the deletion of the word commercial, oppose this amendment? Or recommend against this amendment?
I think our initial reaction was there is a whole separate sign code that's outside of the land use code, but the biggest concern was stepping on the commercial constitutional issue.
Thank
okay.
you.
We're
taking out the word commercial. Further discussion about 8.43 as amended with the removal of that one word? Then let's take a vote, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye, thank you.
Els.
Aye. Okay. Number 16 is a couple of changes requested for emphasis on air quality. So there's a recommended change to policy 4.36 regarding diesel emissions that said diesel emissions encourage best practices to reduce diesel emissions and related impacts when considering land use and public facilities that will increase truck or train traffic, and added language after that saying advocate for state legislation to accelerate replacement of older diesel engines. And then policy 7.5, air quality, which said improve or support efforts to improve air quality through plans and investments, including reducing exposure to air toxics, criteria pollutants, and urban heat island effects. Consider the impacts of air quality on the health of all Portlanders. And new language added that says coordinate with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality to incorporate up-to-date air quality information and best practices into planning and investment decisions. Okay. So any comments, questions about this?
I think this is one where there aren't, as far as I know, not further amendments to this language, but it had been pulled to be able to discuss.
Very timely. Probably won't be a short-term phenomenon, even though it's very timely right now. Okay, so do we take these as separate votes here on these two, or just take Amendment 16 as a package? So I'll move Amendment 16 as a package.
Second.
Further discussion? Let's take a vote, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
An enthusiastic aye.
Fritz?
Obviously, there are, all of this is based on citizen input, and there are multiple places where citizens have made a huge difference. I particularly want to call out Tamara DeRitter and the Rose City Park Neighborhood Association being one of several who are absolutely outstanding as part of this process. Aye.
Hales?
That is true. Aye. Okay, item 17, which was P33, protect defining features. I was trying to enhance the language here that said it originally said protect defining features, protect and enhance defining places and features of centers and corridors, including landmarks, natural features, historic and cultural resources, through application of zoning, incentive programs, and regulatory tools. So this was trying to give us more leverage to maintain the built environment where there are historic or cultural or natural elements that we want to save. So any further questions or discussion about that?
I would just like staff to explain how this then would get implemented, say, in Multnomah Village. How does this language help you in crafting centers and corridors and others that are still unique and respect the history?
Thank you for the question. This is playing out within the mixed-use zoning map discussion at the Planning Commission right now, and there's a proposal on the table to use a three-story zone rather than the middle density four- or five-story zone in some of the oldest corridors or oldest sort of old towns, if you will, of some of our corridors where you have an older usually continuous storefront character and where there's a concern about the scale of new development interrupting that scale. And so we've applied that, and it's under discussion at the Planning Commission right now. So in Multnomah Village, for example, the CM1 three-story zone was used in that core Main Street, and then the CM2, the middle scale zone, is used sort of on the either end of that, so you have sort of the old town and then an opportunity area for newer growth on either side, and that's a forum discussion that's happening with the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's also, by adding the incentive programs there's an opportunity for public-private partnerships that I think in many places throughout the code here, we've sort of identified those areas and opportunities.
Okay, further discussion? Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I particularly appreciate your staff, Mayor, and mine working together with staff to get to this, which I think does get to what Multnomah and other neighborhoods were really concerned about. Aye.
fails.
Yeah, this is, as it gets implemented through the map and the code, this is really important, and I think it will do a lot for the character of those neighborhood main streets. Aye. Okay. Number 18, campus offsite impacts. Commissioner Novick, you want to talk about this one?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I offered this amendment to a policy governing the new campus institution designation. I've heard concerns about how we will implement efforts to minimize off-site impacts of development, especially through new requirements about using transportation demand management tools, also known as TDM. As we grow, TDM will be increasingly important, not just for large institutions and campuses, but also in mixed-use zones, because these tools encourage people to walk, bike, take transit, and carpool when possible, rather than driving, reducing parking and traffic congestion. I know PBOT has been working to develop policies to include in the TSP with respect to TDM. We're monitoring the development of this policy. We need to strike the right balance to ensure the policy benefits development and matches our values as a city. And I appreciate BBS's and PBOT staff for their work in this policy.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Further discussion about the change to policy 6.57? Roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Novick. Aye.
Aye. Okay. Number 19, which is an individual map amendment. Commissioner Novick,
didn't we remove a lot of these till the 11th in an earlier vote?
Right. We're not doing these today, or we are doing
these. These are the ones that we preliminarily thought we could continue doing today. There's a whole batch that have been removed to the 11th, but if you want to remove any of these to the 11th, you're free to do that.
Well, I thought we did it in an earlier vote. I saw a whole bunch of these listed saying they're removed till the 11th.
We removed them for individual consideration. We're getting to the individual consideration.
Okay.
If you want to have that...
Construed that to mean the 11th.
If you want to have that consideration on the 11th, you're free to do that.
So, part of the issue is the 11th. You'll look at the last page 76 and 77 in the document, and we have 25 items about, and many of them, if you think a lot of those will go fast, because you've already discussed them pretty thoroughly, then we can add more on.
Some of those are going to have a robust discussion,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, okay.
Thought I'd toss that out.
You can pass over any of these you like to.
But. Yeah, I mean, if there's something, and I think I may practice this myself, if there's one or more in here where you just want some more time or still would like to delay it to the 11th or otherwise, don't hold back because you've got to be comfortable with proceeding on these.
On this particular one, are any of my colleagues undecided as to how they vote on it?
I sort of am.
Okay. Do you want to hold this one then? Dan, or is it?
I'll ask the sponsor. What's your preference?
Well, I actually think I was going to back off on this one myself and defer to BPS. I mean, I thought that it was appropriate to have a discussion about land that's zoned R20 because R20 is a rather unusual designation. And I think that... It's reasonable always to question whether anything should be in an R20 zone in an urban area. And given that there's a request for this change, I thought it was worth having a council discussion. But now that the idea has been floated and BPS staff still thinks that this is not an appropriate amendment, I was willing to withdraw it. However, I also thought that I was, that if I were still for it, I'd be overwhelmed. So if Commissioner Saltzman wants to think about it further, I wouldn't mind that.
Well, I had some of the same thoughts that Commissioner Novick did. An R20 in the middle of the city. Even though this is on the western edge of the city, it's still very much an urbanized area. And I guess I disagree that it's got poor transit access. I mean, I think testimony showed it's not very far from a bus line, nor from West Side Max, for that matter. And, the services weren't there. So I just felt, I feel most of the opposition to this really comes from people don't want other people living near them with their cars and keeping it hard for them to get from point A to point B. So I guess I'm inclined to think this is R20 in the city in close proximity to services just doesn't make sense.
So they were, the request is go to R5, right? So this site would be dividable into... I don't know how big it was, but some number of R5 lots.
So the question is, if that's the case, then we should look at the whole area. We should not be just looking at one lot.
Well,
I don't know why we're not.
Talk about that, please. I mean, there's not that much undeveloped. Well, that's not true.
I don't know if there's a lot of R20 up there.
Yeah, I don't know that close to 26 or to Skyline. I'm not sure how much R20 there is, but help us out with this, guys.
The zoning pattern on the screen shows the site in black, and there's a big, pretty much all of 61st to the north is R20 for some distance, and it's fairly steep and hilly, and I think that's the rationale. That's also an area that it's outside the city limits, but within our zoning jurisdiction, so our comp plan applies, but it's yet to be annexed along 61st, and so that's partly why the R20 is there still.
This is a weird situation because there's very large multifamily just to the west, right?
Correct.
Accessed by the same street. Granted, it's not directly on transit, but it's a pretty easy bike ride from there to the zoo stop. Not to mention, I think there is bus service at Skyline.
Yeah, we heard your testimony there was bus service on Skyline.
So I guess,
and it's pretty flat compared to the property to the north, relatively speaking, the R20s.
Right. Yeah. Right. This one was flatter.
An air photo. There's a water tank across the street.
Right. Is that our water tank or someone else's?
I believe it's ours. There's also a school about a block to the east. This is a site photo. There's a pretty large retaining wall that separates this site from the Sunset Highway.
It actually fronts on a different street.
It fronts on the only feasible really frontage is 61st because
it's elevated up on top of that wall. Yeah.
But as the testimony pointed out, there are sidewalks on the street below.
Yeah, so I guess I'm in light of this, I'm still inclined to support this.
Yeah, I think I am too.
I'm not.
Well, Steve, what do you think? Otherwise we might have to delay this one. Maybe a hung jury here.
Since it's controversial, maybe it would be good for Commissioner Fish to
pull it off. Yeah. Okay.
I've gone back and forth on it, so I don't mind another couple weeks to go back
and
forth.
Let's pull this one off. So Commissioner Fritz moves, and I'll second that we pull this one out for individual consideration. We don't even have to do that because it's not in a package, so we'll just delay this one. We'll set this one over. Okay, let's move on to number 20.
So we just went about four blocks to the east from your last site. And this is on a forested slope opposite the zoo, essentially. It's got access off of Humphrey. It's a site that's had a number of development proposals over the years, which none of which are currently active, I believe. The surrounding sites, the zoo obviously is zoned open space. The surrounding land is mostly in the R20 category, again, in this case, because of the slope. There's also, I think, a staff concern here about land hazards because it's a pretty steep slope with some history of landslides that go out onto the highway.
So this was a property owner request, right?
Right.
And the request was to keep it at R10?
Right. This was within an area of recommended down designations from R10 to R20 due to slope hazards and related issues. This is sort of the inverse of the centers and corridor strategy, is to also try and get reduced density on some of the most constrained and difficult to develop on sites.
So those recommendations, concerns about the slopes being raised by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability or another Bureau of the City?
Yeah, we did an analysis that looked at landslide history and access issues with emergency services and with slopes and landslide hazard, and mapped areas that were far from centers and corridors that had these constraints, and came up with a package of down designations, again with the larger idea of relieving density pressure on these harder to serve locations. There's a, some areas in outer southeast, south of Foster. There's some areas south of along Tryon Creek that were subject to this similar treatment, and then a small area on the backside of Council Crest, which is really steep coming above Hillsdale, that was also, this approach was taken. So yeah. There's about a dozen areas of 20 to 50 properties each where we were essentially taking the density down a notch due to these hazard concerns.
Well, I haven't been down the street to look at this one, but I assume that it's steep. It's hugely steep. It goes all the way down to the freeway, but that the only development scenario that's even practicable would be to build another house next to the house that's there on Humphrey, right? There's a house on Humphrey that must be 4335.
Yeah, there's a house there. There have been PUD proposals on this site for 15 to 20 lots in the past, and that's I think the interest of the applicant on this.
And how big is the site?
That is
a good
huge.
Question.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It is big. I don't have the figure in front of me.
So the Bureau of Emergency Management worked with us on this, just so you know that.
Right.
That they were the ones that helped us work through all the technical issues.
And so your recommendation is keep the downzoning because no...
Do the downzoning.
Yeah. Keep the downzoning proposal, which takes it from R10 to R20. And that basically says we're done there. There's that house is there, but there won't be more. Right?
Even with R20, there are more houses allowed. As you said, it's a pretty big site.
So it's a big enough parcel that they could divide it. And
they could still divide it into probably even more than two, but it wouldn't be as many houses.
Oh, all right. Yeah, one more house or so there,
okay. Well,
properly engineered, wouldn't probably be the end of the world, but 8 or 10 or 15 is a crazy idea in my opinion. Not having done the geotechnical analysis, but having seen the site from the highway.
So I appreciate, I did put this forward at the request of the property owner, but appreciate the analysis by emergency management and BPS, so I'm comfortable with the recommendation of the Bureau.
Okay. Anyone else not ready to vote on this one? Okay, let's take a vote, please, then, on Amendment 20.
Saltzman?
Am I voting no?
You're voting yes, right? Or no, which is it? Retaining the 10,000 would be going against the staff recommendation.
Yeah, so
correct.
The amendment was to undo the down designation. Okay. So you'd want to vote no if you want to leave the staff recommendation and yes if you want to adopt our 10 zoning.
Got it.
Okay, so no.
Novick.
No.
A nice change. No.
Hales.
No. Maybe the first unanimous no vote on this council. I don't remember enough. I don't know if we've ever done that before. All right. So let's go to 21. 17th and Sherritt.
This one is a couple properties in the vicinity of 17th and Sherritt that were proposed to essentially widen the mixed-use designation at a node there. It was you had a lot of testimony about this amendment, so that's why we recommended considering it individually. There was quite a few neighbors testified against it, as well as the neighborhood association.
Testified against it.
The specific areas are essentially there is a mixed-use corridor on 17th already, and this would take that mixed-use zoning another half block on both sides of that node.
There's not really any point in having mixed-use zoning if you don't have a frontage.
Well, it does have a frontage, right?
I think the intent was to develop a more significant node here. That went beyond just the immediate frontage. It is the short distance from the orange line on the right side of the map.
And where we were able to expand these nodes to make the sites actually more flexibly developable, we were looking for that opportunity. If when you have the mixed use or some of these more intense zones squeezed in, you have less ability to design around the site and have a site that fits in, a building that fits in better.
The But then there's no transition between the mixed use and the single family. Previously there was
transition. Right, I see that. And part of this area is vacant, right? I mean, there's a vacant parcel at 17th and Sherritt that's already
See, there's the existing building on the west side, and then there's, you can see on this photo at the left side, there's part of a vacant lot there that goes back that distance. So I think it is related to making that, as Joe said, the site more feasibly developed under one zone. It does. You did get testimony from the neighbors on the abutting single-family lots concerned about shade and impact to their gardens.
Right, so if we don't adopt the amendment, then the pattern would be mixed-use neighborhood to the same depth along that whole portion of 17th, right?
Right, and
the
what's...
parcels that are highlighted in the rectangles would be what designation?
They would remain as R2.
R2. Okay, so the pattern of mixed use on 17th and step down with R2 to the adjacent single family would be maintained if we do not approve the amendment. Right. And staff's recommendation is which?
We recommended support for this due to the proximity of the Orange Line and the feasibility of having a more... coherent node here, because it is in the control of one property owner where there's a potential for a coherent development plan.
A good example to think about, although it's a slightly different, is the mixed-use building at 11th, Northeast 11th and Broadway, where it's residential taller along Broadway, transitions down to townhouses, parking in the middle, part of which is a very successful transition. Part of what makes it that, though, is the uniform zoning across the whole site, so things could be shifted around. It was simply a move like that. I'm not really sure, Eric, what's the, given our new mixed-use code, what's the scale difference between R2 in the back and what we might be putting in the mixed use in the front?
The R2 allows 45-foot-high development, and the mixed use is limited to 45. The reality, though, is the adjacent property owners are a little bit lower than that.
Right. So it's the So that's why we went for the larger node. The physical kind of transition would be the same. And
there are 2.5, which is the orange color on the map, is 35 foot height.
Well, I used to live at 17th in Nehalem, and I'm very bitter about although I like living where I live, I'm bitter about the fact that I'm not able to use the new Orange Line, and I think as many people as possible should be able to, so I support the amendment.
Yeah, I guess I'm sort of rethinking the question of what the practical effect of this is going to be. You got it. Fairly fully developed. And I guess I hadn't realized this was like long strips on either side of 17th with what, 10, 12 parcels involved, right? I think I'd like a little more time on this one. Let's hold this one over for more work. Okay, M47, number 22. Trying to remember this one.
So this is up behind Montgomery Park.
Right.
And where Nikolai and Wardway come in. There's a section that's zoned employment that's south of Nikolai, starting to go up the slope towards the residential area. And there's a registration problem on my map here. The red box should be over on top of the crosshatch box, and the whole dotted box should slide
Yeah.
To the left.
Yeah, so this was the question of the back portion of that property. If you look at it as if you look at the Nicolai frontage as being the front, the back portion fronts onto Wilson, right?
Yeah, so the original amendment, this has two layers. The original amendment was to add the solid square, the crosshatch square on Wilson, which is in this photograph. I'm looking east on Wilson towards Montgomery Park, and the site was to the left, and then there's existing townhouse development to the right.
Yep.
And so it would be this site here that would, the proposal was to change that from employment to R2. The further variant on that, which I believe came from Commissioner Novick, was to extend that and change the larger dotted square to EX, to provide a larger transition. And the concern raised by staff was that EX allows housing, and so we were concerned about the erosion of the buffer between the residential and the heavy industrial zone to the north, and Nicolai is a heavy freight street at that location. So,
but that idea is not before us in this amendment, right?
You both are before you in this amendment, so you have to decide if you want to do one or both or something else.
Oh, all right.
So there's the original amendment and the further amendment in the box below it.
Yeah, I don't think housing fronting Nicolai to me doesn't make sense. Housing fronting Wilson makes sense, right? I got that right from your standpoint, staff, that
yeah, we supported the change to the one parcel facing Wilson.
Yeah, but leaving so the well, it's in the is it in the industrial sanctuary on the back on the Nicolai portion?
Yeah, all of it's industrial sanctuary.
I do think we need to be very careful about industrial lands, right, and employment lands here.
My concern was that this land has been underutilized for years and years and years. And the potential developer here has worked closely with the Northwest District Association, which supports the changes in the amendments. And I know that there's a concern about if there's industrial uses next to residential, then at some point the residents complain and say they want the industrial uses to go away, but they don't have an absolute right to do that. I would think that we can make sure that the new residential users will know that there's nearby industrial uses that they're expected to put up with. I don't think that we should leave a piece of land undeveloped forever because of concern about that possible tension, which I think can be diffused just by telling people, hey, look, you're in an industrial area.
This is a picture on the screen now, just looking from Nicolai to the right is the site, is the lower portion of the site.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember the testimony about the Nicolai frontage. I remember the testimony about the Wilson frontage. Camille, you got some thoughts on this? You can come up. Sorry. He's done a lot of work on this.
Camille Trummer, policy advisor, for the record.
Sorry.
Camille Trummer, policy advisor for the record. So we did not receive opposition to this. Actually, the Northwest Neighborhood Association supported this.
Both pieces?
Both pieces. So I have not received any testimony against.
Okay, thank you.
So what's the impact on Giles Lake Industrial Sanctuary, and what's the impact on the employment lands numbers?
Tom's going to come up and give you the exact.
Yeah, and I guess while you're thinking about this, so I guess if I'm not as clued in on the second piece of this proposal as I should be, but so the original proposal regarded Wilson, I got that. And then the second proposal was to change the designation to EX in the remainder of the parcel along Nicolai. But it doesn't quite make it all the way to the R5 area to the west.
That's the mistake that I pointed out earlier.
Okay, so it should.
Everything between 29th and this was supposed to be circled there, and there's a registration problem where the map making here.
All right.
So it's this section.
Right. And it doesn't extend across the curved section of
not as currently proposed.
Right. So you would basically take that whole little area there from the curve on Wardway onto Nicolai all the way over to the R5 area, and if this was approved, that would go from IH or whatever it is now. What is it now? To EX, right?
It is IH now, I believe. Is that right?
It says mixed employment.
We have no. That's what the property owners requested, and we have no opposition to that, right?
Sorry, it's currently mixed employment, PG.
So what's the difference between it being zoned mixed employment and being zoned EX?
Housing
possibilities. Just the difference is housing?
The difference is housing and larger retail. EG limits, but doesn't the new EG does not permit housing, and retail is more limited because it's primarily an employment zone.
So, yeah, I guess the question is, what do we want to see here, right? I mean, I understand the property owner would like more flexibility, but from a long-term planning standpoint, on one side of the ledger, I would say those parcels aren't important to the industrial sanctuary. The real industrial sanctuary starts on the other side of Nicolai and goes for miles, in terms of large-scale industrial development. On the other hand, having housing across the street from heavy industry is rarely a success. See all the conflicts with ESCO over the years. So, I'm just trying to think this through out loud, which is always dangerous in a council meeting. So what do we want to see there? Do we want to see retail? Who would that retail be serving, given that further out on Nicolai, there's not much in the way of customers?
What? It looks like Tom Armstrong has an answer for me.
Tom and employment Joe lands and such. Thoughts about this.
Tom Armstrong with BPS. I don't have a clear answer, but I will say the small box, the one that faces Wilson, we were originally okay with that because it's only a half acre.
Right.
You know, it's a transition site. We could see that.
I got that.
In terms of industrial capacity for the stuff that fronts on Nicolai, I don't have an estimate as to what that means for industrial capacity. It probably is not that much because it's already developed as an industrial building, so we're not counting on it in terms of the buildable land inventory for future employment use, but it does support a certain amount of employment use today. So I think you get back to the mayor's question about what is it that we want that south side of Nicolai to look like. And I think one of the reasons we were more supportive of at least the small piece going to housing, we're nervous about more housing closer to the industrial sanctuary, but there's a lot of housing right there anyway. And that's the same sort of debate question you face across the street for the Montgomery Park whether it should be employment or EX mixed.
Yeah, to me that's the easier call. I mean, there's no guarantee that it will be done well, but there are 2 to 3-story townhouses across Wilson from this site. So you could obviously whoever builds housing on the smaller site is going to design it in a way that opens towards the neighborhood, puts its back to the whatever it is behind it. But I'm still just wondering out loud about whatever behind it. I mean, you go further down St. Helens Road, you got giant warehouses and industrial stuff to the north, in the heart of the industrial sanctuary, and then you got these little workshoppy industrial businesses on on the south side of the roadway. On this particular site, there are some fairly low value buildings with what appear to be relatively marginal businesses in them. So again, I'm trying to think through, what do we want to see there? I'm pretty sure I don't want to see retail, but
see, that's one of the issues with the EX. It's a wide open zone and allows a lot. And I think in general, we were trying to be conservative with the change from away from industrial or at least employment land.
This
kind of space could be makerspace.
I was going to say, could this potentially be small-scale makerspace in the future? So we're
struggling
with that in the Central East Side, but maybe that won't be the only place, we hope that won't be the only place in the city where small-scale makerspace is possible.
Right, and you know, and as things, we really are interested in having places where businesses that find it either increasingly inconvenient or too expensive to stay in the Central East Side can find a viable location in the city, and we're trying to do that in Gateway, and this could be one of those as well.
So what's the best zone for that?
It's mixed employment.
What it is.
Which is what it is. See, what we're really doing, and even in the EG, which is the mixed employment, we're tightening it up so that it's clearly an employment zone. That's the move we're trying to make citywide to, once again, be as conservative as we can. Where we're going to put that zone, we want to try to preserve it for employment uses.
Yeah, so I understand that Commissioner Fish has an interest in this as well, and given that don't have a unanimity on this, I'd suggest that we put
it over. Let's hold this one as well. I think I feel a little more comfortable with where I am on it, but let's hold this one until Commissioner Fish is back and we can vote.
And while you're thinking about that between now and the next meeting, think about a little bit the residential piece here, the things that Tamara DeRitter were trying to put forward. One of the ways you would enact that kind of policy is looking at this being a big diesel sort of pollutant area, and putting housing right on it is kind of going against that policy.
What, you mean on Nicolai?
Right. Yeah. So I'm just trying to give a real example of what she was talking about.
We'll vote when we vote, but my feeling is that keeping this as makerspace on the Nicolai side and allowing the housing on the Wilson side, I think that's to me where I'm likely to end up. But we can hold this till May 11th and decide it then. If we're not unanimous about that. Okay, we'll hold it till the 11th. Okay. If these are the non-controversial amendments. God help us. Okay, 2815 Southwest Barber.
So if I might speak to this, the latest on this, this is, of course, the site where Under Armour is currently leasing. They're not the property owner, next to Dunaway Park, and they're currently under construction with an approved design review, and they don't have plans right now to do any more. We heard testimony that they'd like to be able to do one more story. We looked into the height that they would need for one more story, and they would need an extra 2 feet from the CM1, the neighborhood commercial, and Eric informed me yesterday that height is adjustable, and even in the new zone, it's adjustable up to 10%. So I believe that my amendment still gets Under Armour what they want and is more reflective of the fact that it's not in the downtown core, and that a 65, three more stories would tower over the park and make it look like the park belongs to the adjacent property.
To make sure I understood you, mixed-use neighborhood would allow them to add a story?
Yes, with a 2-foot adjustment.
They'd have to get an adjustment.
They'd have to get an adjustment.
Okay, but that's possible.
Yes,
adjustable.
It is adjustable.
Okay. How do you get an extra story with only 2 feet of height?
They've already got capacity. They're not building to the full capacity of what they have now. So they're not building to 45 feet now. They're building to whatever it would be.
36 or something.
Yeah.
Right.
So all they need is 47, and this is my understanding.
So I haven't talked to them. Do you think that's anathema to their plans, or is that acceptable to their plans?
I haven't, unfortunately, I didn't know this was coming up today. I had a chance to connect with them, but my understanding is that's what they need. They're not planning to add three or four stories. Besides which, it's not their property anyway.
Well, they're in demolition now and in the permit process now.
Right. They're not planning to do it as part of this
project. Okay.
They're not planning to do it as part of this project. They were just looking to the future.
What they're doing now is going to happen before this plan goes into effect. So
right.
We're talking about potential later additions.
They're preserving next phase or capacity to be able to do this. But I don't know what their reaction would be to this specific proposal.
We can hold it over if you want, so I can check with them.
At the
request of the Neighborhood Association, and pointing out that it is kind of a dispersed parcel. All the other parcels nearby it are not given this designation.
I guess I would look beyond the current
lessee,
too. I mean, this is a 20-year plan. I think, as noted, this is going to be hopefully on the southwest or on a high-capacity transit line. And so I think that a higher density zoning for the long term is appropriate here.
I agree.
Well, we may have three votes to proceed on this one. Amanda, so I think we should go ahead. I think you're going to get out.
It's my birthday. You can't do this to me.
I already used the birthday one.